Some of the numbers behind the White House last night cutting off federal subsidies to insurance companies that sell coverage under Obamacare. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. The White House has cut off federal money that insurance companies use to bolster Obamacare health plans. Although Republicans control both houses of Congress, President Trump challenged Democrats to now help him fix the system, something Democrats say they're inclined not to do. They're not inclined to do after what they regard as a destructive move by the president last evening. Insurers count on federal money to offer policies to people of low and middle income. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman has more.
These subsidies provide about $9 billion a year to insurers, so the insurers can offer plans with low copays and deductibles to people making up to 250% of the poverty level. Now, Trump's health officials say the payments are improper and will end immediately. Larry Levitt is with the nonpartisan Kaiser Family Foundation.
I mean, the immediate effect is that insurers will start losing money, because insurers still have to provide lower deductibles and copays to low-income consumers. They just won't get paid for that.
Nicholas Bagley at the University of Michigan Law School says more than a dozen states are already in court defending the subsidies and will likely ask the judge to order the administration to keep paying them for now.
The idea would be that it's not okay for the president to take money that Congress has appropriated and refuse to spend it.
Republican lawmakers who sued to block the subsidy payments argued they never were properly authorized by Congress. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
Interest rates, the 10-year yield is down at 2.28%, and we're about to explain why. There are two strands of thought in the minds of many market players this morning. One is the government's key measure on inflation, the Consumer Price Index, which seemed to spike in September, but perhaps not if we look deeper. Christopher Lowe is chief economist at FTN Financial in New York. Good morning.
Good morning, David.
All right, so inflation spikes upward last month. Up 0.5%, biggest rise in 8 months. But, you know, you gotta process this a little bit. Help me do that.
Well, yeah, and I'm sure actually just about every one of your listeners has seen what drove inflation higher. It's gas prices. They are sharply up from a month ago, and that's because Hurricane Harvey hammered Houston.
Now, we also have the White House Chief of Staff, Kelly, yesterday saying, yes, they're doing interviews for new chair of the Federal Reserve. I think you and I talked. The job might go to Kevin Warsh. He's at the conservative Hoover Institution.
That's right. Wall Street's looking at Kevin Warsh. And as far as I can tell, you know, a couple of reasons. One, he is a favorite with conservative economists. Two, his father-in-law plays golf with Donald Trump. But the story broke this week that Steven Mnuchin, the Treasury Secretary, is actually pushing for somebody else. He's advocating Jay Powell should be the next chair. Powell, you might recognize that name because he's already a governor, but you might not recognize it because he's one of the quiet ones, which from a market standpoint, from an interest rate standpoint, is a good thing.
Jay Powell, already a Federal Reserve governor. Christopher Lowe, FTN Financial, thank you.
You're welcome, David.
The Department of Education has made some big changes to the way it measures college student success. For the first time, the department's National Center on Education Statistics is tracking the number of part-time and transfer students who graduate. These so-called non-traditional students actually make up a bigger share of today's student body. From the Marketplace Education Desk at WYPR in Baltimore, Amy Scott has details.
For decades, the government tracked graduation rates only for students attending college full-time for the first time.
The rates that we've relied on since the 90s only reflect about 50% of today's college students.
Mamie Voigt is with the Institute for Higher Education Policy. She says knowing outcomes for all students is important for policymakers and for prospective students choosing a college and whether to take on debt.
It's also incredibly important for colleges and universities who are trying to improve their own practices to promote student success.
The new survey shows that at public universities, students who transferred in graduated at higher rates than their peers who started at the same school. Kevin Kruger is president of NASPA, an Association of Student Affairs Administrators. He says the data don't follow students who transfer out.
Where they end up, how many schools they transfer to, did they eventually graduate?
Key questions, he says, that won't be answered unless Congress changes a law that protects student privacy. I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
What's shocking in itself is my next sentence is probably not hyperbole. It's been 10 years since a reality TV show got started that ended up changing the world. Marketplace's Ryan Kailath, what's the show?
It doesn't really matter if you've seen the show. You know who they are.
This is it. The 10th anniversary of Keeping Up with the Kardashians.
That's Ryan Seacrest, who helped create the program after his success with American Idol. Karen North of USC's Annenberg School says while all those early reality shows made celebrities out of regular people,
the Kardashians brought us in not only to their personal lives, but to their incredibly strategic professional lives.
The family, especially matriarch Kris Jenner, she says, showed a generation how to build an attention empire using the nascent tools of social media.
Social media is now not the ancillary extra spend for advertising. It's now a core feature, if not the core feature, of advertising and promotion.
Forbes estimates the family pulled in over $122 million last year alone. They've launched clothing lines, jewelry, iPhone apps, and at least 7 spin-off reality shows. With the youngest sister, Kylie Jenner, now a cosmetics industry mogul, the Kardashian dynasty may be here for the next generation. In New York, I'm Ryan Kailath for Marketplace.
And I'm David Brancaccio, and this is the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.